Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Stacia, and in this show we are going to discuss what I consider part three of our discussion of encryption. In this discussion we are going to talk about asymmetric or public key cryptography or crypto systems. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please feel free to use the question comment box below. With that being said, let's just go ahead and get started. Well, if you've been following along with the first two parts of this, discussion on encryption, we've been talking about, first of all, what encryption is. Then we talked about, something called symmetric encryption or symmetric cryptography. Well, now we're going to talk about the next part of that, which is public key cryptography or asymmetric encryption. Now, what this is doing is this is going through and, if you recall with symmetric we used what? Symmetric we used one key. So we have one key out there, and that key is used to do encryption and decryption. One does an operation, and it can be reversed with that same key. So you can encrypt or decrypt the exact same key. So that is symmetric in a nutshell. We learned that symmetric was very, very efficient with bulk data, large data, amounts of data. It's great at doing that. Weaknesses, key management. It's very tough to manage a large amount of keys with a symmetric system, because you have to get keys out to everyone and figure out how to get those keys out safely without having any problems with it. So, or unauthorized disclosure of those things. So, knowing what we know now about symmetric, let's talk about asymmetric and see what we have here and what this solves, as well as what problems or weaknesses it has compared to symmetric. Now, what we have on here is asymmetric encryption relies on what's known as a key pair. Now, what happens is when we look at a asymmetric system, we definitely have two keys being generated. Now, those two keys are considered mathematical mirror images of one another. Now, that's pretty unique when you think of it. It's pretty special property there. It means one key is the mirror or polar opposite of the other one. However, if you know one key, it doesn't mean you know what the other key looks like. It also has the unique property of saying if you encrypt with one, you cannot decrypt that same key. That's very important. So if you have a key pair, let's call them key A and B. That represents our key pair. Key A is a mirror of key B, and key B, by definition, would be a mirror of A. So A and B are mirrors of one another. Now, what that means is that why they are mirrors of one another? Well, if you encrypt something with A, you cannot decrypt with A. If you encrypt with A, you can decrypt with B. If you encrypt with B, you decrypt with A. You can encrypt or decrypt with either one, but if you encrypt with one, you have to decrypt with the other. Plain and simple. You encrypt with A, have to decrypt with B. Encrypt with B, have to encrypt with A. You can encrypt or decrypt with A, you can encrypt or decrypt with B, but you cannot do the same with both. Plain and simple. So that is the way that part of it works. Now, when we look at asymmetric on here, asymmetric has that property of going through and having these mirrored copies of one another. Now, what happens on here is that we don't just call them key A and key B. What do we call them? We call them public and we call them private. Now, what separates a public from a private key? What separates a public from a private key is who has possession of that key. I can make, if I generate a key A and B, I can go through and give key A to someone or give key B to someone. Well, if I give key A to you, that's now the private key because you're the only one who has possession of that. Key B is the public one. Now why would I do that? It means that if I have asymmetric, if I encrypt something with the private key, well, I encrypt something with a private key. Well, B, in this case, the public key, is a mirror image of that. It means that if I encrypt something with key A, the private key, and I give it to you, and you want to decrypt it, and you want to make sure it came from me, well, what happens? You go out there and pull my public key, and you decrypt it, because we know that anything that's encrypted with one must be decrypted with the other. It can only be encrypted with the other part of that key. So encrypt with A, you decrypt with B. You decrypt with B, you got to encrypt with A. So that's very important. So you go through, and you have a private, you encrypt it with someone's private key. If I encrypt with my private key, you can decrypt with my public key, therefore knowing that it came from me. It's the only way it works. Now, could you use the public key to encrypt? Well, yeah, you could. If you want to send something and make sure I'm the only one that can ever open it, what do? You go through and you say, okay, I want to make sure it goes to Michael. You grab Michael, my public key, you take it, and you go through and encrypt something with my public key, and then you send it to me. It means that you no longer have to worry about getting a key to me because I already have it. I'm the only one who has possession of my private key. You encrypt it with my public key. I could only decrypt it with my private key. I'm the only one that could do anything with that. That's a very, very important property of this. Now look at what we've done here. We've gone through and we've solved the process of key management. I no longer have to go through and go through that messy deal of (n)(n-1/2). I don't have to do that. That no longer becomes an issue because what I've done here is I don't have to distribute keys. I generate a key pair, give you one private one. I put the public one in some public repository with some information saying that this is the public key for so-and-so. And then you just go through and if you want to send me something or decrypt something for me, you go get it. I don't have to give it to you ahead of time. You know where it is. So I've solved that problem right there. So it sounds great. Sounds really great so far. Well, no, you don't get something for free. There's no free rides or free lunches, whatever you want to call it, in this field. You get something where you don't get something for nothing. This is no different. What do public keys do well? Well, key distribution ceases to be a problem. We also get what else with this? We get key distribution is not a problem. We also get the situation where that's not a problem. We also get the fact that it's very effective at distinguishing who someone is. Symmetric keys, there's no real way built into it that I can distinguish who someone is or not. So if you have to encrypt and decrypt the same key and I'm trying to distribute information between a whole party or a group of people, everyone has got the same key. So there's no way to positively identify. Here, I positively identify it because by definition, only one person has a private key, and that's the person that it was assigned to, and that's it. That's very, very important. It does that pretty well. It solves that problem of identifying someone uniquely. Symmetric keys can't do that. Okay, so that's the strengths. What are the weaknesses? The weaknesses primarily is that, performance. The larger amounts of data that asymmetric has to work on, the slower it gets. It's not infinite. It won't keep going through and dropping through the floor. If you dump huge amounts of data through, it doesn't get slower as that data set doubles and triples and quadruples in size, but it does get slower. Symmetric will tear through it, where asymmetric will clunk and plod on through. Asymmetric's great for very small pieces of information. But large information, it's bad. Symmetric is great on bulk data, but it has other problems. So you have the performance problem. You also have to, with asymmetric, typically you got to have some hierarchy to in place that has a repository that stores public keys in there. So that is an important property there as well. So that is what asymmetric does. So it's a very, very valuable tool for us. Now, symmetric and asymmetric are both have their strengths and weaknesses. They both have their values and, you know, pros and cons, so to speak. And each one of those things are we're going to talk about in here. And we talk about encryption and see why we'd use one over the other. They're very, very good and very, very revolutionary. So what does, just to kind of give you a peek around the corner, what do asymmetric and symmetric, what can they do? Well, they can be put together to use something known as a hybrid crypto system. It means that we say, okay, we know this one has its, this one has its strengths and weaknesses. This other guy has its strengths and weaknesses. We can combine them to get the best of both worlds. So that's what we get going on here. You know, we can combine symmetric and asymmetric to get the best of both and really get an effective stuff. That's a crypto system, a hybrid crypto system. We are going to talk about that in another discussion that we're going to have on encryption, another part of this whole process on here. So that is asymmetric encryption. Public and private key is the other one we call that. So really, really cool, very, very powerful technique to have. Now, as far as examples of hybrid crypto systems or rather asymmetric encryption in the real world, we've got a few. We've got, you know, a whole bag of them on here. For example, we have Diffie-Hellman builds on that. We've got, you know, a digital signature standard, elliptical curve. We've got RSA. We've got a various ones on here. Now, let's just talk about some of the ways these things go through and work to make it to make themselves do this job and do it well. Let's talk about the key exchange issue. Well, let's talk about key exchange and how asymmetric can help you with that. One of the other ways it can help you with that. Asymmetric does a good job of going through and solving that key exchange issue. Now, I told you one way it does it. I can do public and private, but there's something else that builds in here. When you go through and you don't want to have a hierarchy on there, well, how can you exchange keys and leverage the benefits of a hybrid crypto system or asymmetric without having to go through and set up a whole hierarchy? Well, let's take a look at that. We're going to use something called Diffie-Hellman. Now, I'm going to go through and I'm going to simplify this process on here. The intention being I'm going to simplify it for illustrative purposes. Now, you can feel free to diagram this with me on a piece of paper, or you can feel free to follow along with your head. You know, some guys are great at this. Well, I'm going to go through and talk and simplify it. There's actually much more complex mathematics behind this process, but I'm just going to go through and break it down to make it simple for you so you don't have to worry about a lot of math. You can focus on some of the magic that happens here and how clever some of these systems can be. Well, we have here is, let's say we have a party A and a party B. So if you have a piece of paper out, you can draw party A on one side and a party B on the other. Now, between party A and party B, there's going to be a conversation taking place. So party A and party B need to share information. Well, the problem is they want to go through and they want to share it. They want to agree upon a key to encrypt their information so only they can get it. Well, the thing is that if we go through and we encrypt information going back and forth, we've got two choices. We've got symmetric. Well, that raises the specter of how do I get the key to you? I can't encrypt the key in symmetric because if I encrypt the key, I'm back where I started. I have to tell you how to decrypt the key, so I got an issue here or there. And if I send the key in the clear, someone can intercept it. Okay, so we've got that. But then I said asymmetric, you got to put in a public repository out there so someone can get it. Well, that's another issue on there. I have to have a hierarchy set up to do that and validate. So how do I go through and address these? How do I get asymmetric to work for me without having the whole hierarchy on here? Well, let's talk about that key exchange. So A and B goes out there. They want to go through and agree upon a key. without having a hierarchy. So what happens on here? A and B are going to go out there and they're going to make an agreement. We want to communicate. They're going to shake hands and say, we want to communicate. So what they're going to do is they're going to go through and use Diffie-Hellman, and they're going to use that protocol, and they're going to say, let's choose a number. They're going to go out there and choose a number. Now, for our example in here, we're going to use the number 2. So A and B have agreed upon the number 2. So mutually have shaken hands and saying, we agree on the number 2. Now, they're each going to go back in their own respective corners, and A is going to go out there and choose the number 3 independently. No one else knows about this except A. A has chosen the number 3 internally. It's kind of written that down on its piece of paper and kept that card close to its chest. B is going to go out, and it's going to choose the number 4. So mutually we've agreed upon 2. Everyone can see that. Even people that weren't involved in this conversation, we've shouted across the crowded room. We can both agree on the number. Everyone knows to agree on the number 2. Okay. Well, A's thought up a number and chosen a number. It's chosen 3. B's chosen 4. So what's going to happen is A is now going to take its number that it chose and multiply that by the number 2. So if you do the math, you know, 3 times 2 is pretty simple. It's going to come out to 6. B is going to do the same thing. It's going to multiply 4 times 2. So it comes out with what? The number 8. Okay, nothing, no black magic going on yet, right? So what's going to happen is A and B are now going to swap those numbers. It means A is going to send the number 6 over to B. B is going to send the number 8 over to A, and they're going to go back in the corners and they're going to say, okay, well, A's got the number 8 now. B has the number 6 now. So what's going to happen? Well, A is now going to take the number it chose internally, in this case 3, and it's going to multiply 8 times 3 to get 24. What's B going to do? B is going to take the number 6 and multiply that times 4, and it's going to go out there and it's going to get 24. So now what we've got is we've got two parties that have gone through and agreed upon a number without directly exchanging that key or that number. If you were sitting around watching this, all you saw was the number 2 go across, and then you saw the numbers 6 and 8. Now, I kept the numbers small on here and kept the mathematics simple. In the real world, there's a bunch of formulas going on in here and large numbers going on in here that make this much more complex, because let's face it, you could figure out 24 based off those numbers on there if you played around and, you know, messed with it a bit. Well, it's still, whether you use large prime numbers or use formulas to do this process, it's still going to work out pretty much the same. So you can see how this works. It's very simple, it's very elegant, and it's very effective. So that is just another way encryption goes through and works. That is asymmetric and another way of exchanging keys securely. So really, really cool. All right, so before I get your head spinning too much, we'll just go ahead and say that is asymmetric encryption. That is, you know, what it offers you. That's why you're interested into it. So with that being said, I hope you got a lot out of that conversation. We're still going to be continuing on encryption in another part here. So with that being said, I'd like to thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing any of my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio archive for Michael Stacia, and you can find radio shows that I have done. If there is a show that you would like me to do, please feel free to send me an email and let me know what that might be. I'd like to again thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.